Call this meeting to order. First time, Representative Marquardt, I know you've had a lot of time to look through the minutes. Would you move to approve those, please? You know what happens when you're late for class, right?
Right. Mr. Chair, I will move the approval of the minutes.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Minutes are approved. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move House File 2821 to pass out of this committee and go to the General Register. And if I could, I'd like to get my bill in order and move the Amendment A1 to House File 2821.
Okay. Representative Anderson has moved the A1 amendment. All those in favor of the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. You now have the bill in the shape that you would like it. Your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. What this bill does is it makes two changes to a total of four House districts. The first change I'm going to talk about is in the area of Stillwater. If you look in your packets, you have a map, colored map, that shows you the change that you've got here. If you look at the red line, that shows you what the original court plan was. And then you'll see the new territory because it's colored either pink or yellow and how that's changed. Why we are making this change is because what the courts did in drawing their plan is they put 12 people in this one area, and this would cause the city of Stillwater to have to create one precinct for 12 people, which is obviously a costly endeavor. So what we're doing is correcting that by just making an adjustment there. It has a minimal impact when it comes to the deviation area, and it still puts us within the realm of what the court set out for deviation principles. The second change that I want to highlight to you is for House Districts 49A and 49B. That's the other map that you have in your packet today. And this is an issue that has actually happened in the past. 10 years ago, when the court plan was issued, they had divided a nursing home, or not a nursing home, a senior citizen housing facility. They actually divided the building in half because they were going by school district boundary lines, and unfortunately the school district boundary line actually goes through the middle of the building. And so we are fixing that and cleaning up this area at the request of the city administrator from the city of Edina as well. So, and this was a change that was done 10 years ago by the legislature after the courts made that mistake 10 years ago as well. Those are the two changes. The other thing that I wanted to highlight to you is if you go to the Secretary of State's website, they are making minor adjustments to maps after getting input from different cities. They have made 10 changes so far, and they expect at least 7 more to come to their office. These changes, some of them do impact a small number of people. However, they are not major by any means. That's why the Secretary of State's office didn't make these two changes, because these were too significant for them to make. But the changes that they're making are issues where the lines were drawn using non-physical features like school district boundary lines, where they're cutting off yards and things of that nature. But I do have our map person who has been tracking this issue, and he can speak to that if you have any specific questions. But other than that, that's it in a nutshell, and I stand for any questions, Mr. Chair.
So, Representative Anderson, are you suggesting that a nursing home is a community of interest? No. Questions?
Madam Chair, my first question is, historically, and perhaps Mr. Gehring can answer the question, historically, have we had a bill before the election takes place? My memory seems that we always passed the corrections bill in the year after the election had taken place. Usually when the court gave, and I can be wrong, I thought that the maps came out after the session was over, because primary moved up, that's why we got the court maps earlier this year. But Is there a historic date that is followed, or have we done corrections before the election takes place in the past?
Representative Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Mr. Gehring could speak to the history of it. I think what we're trying to do is minimize problems for these communities. As you can imagine, prior to the election, we have that opportunity to do that this year rather than waiting another year. And so that's given, we have greater flexibility this year than I think maybe they've had in years past, but Mr. Gehring could probably speak to the history of it.
Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, in the past, the corrections bills have passed in different years after elections have taken place, but that is more of a result of the political process than any sort of legal requirement statute that you wait until an election has occurred. The legislature always has the authority to come back and enact its own redistricting plan at any time. And so this would be sort of fit within that discretion of the legislature to make changes as it sees fit. The corrections that were made in Edina in the last decade, I think, were enacted in 2003.
Okay.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does someone know, how long does the Secretary of State have to continue to make changes like these?
Sure.
Mr. Gehring?
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, there isn't a deadline in statute for the Secretary of State to make these types of corrections. I would think that most of their corrections they'll receive, you know, soon, because the cities and counties and townships are going through the process of reviewing the new boundaries and making precinct adjustments accordingly. So I would guess that most of the corrections will come this year, but if for some reason a census block description is ambiguous and nobody finds out until 2 or 3 years from now, there's no reason why they couldn't make a correction if necessary.
Mr. Chair.
Representative
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, too, I think what we're seeing in this cycle, too, is a difference of update in technology as well. People are able to catch these errors more quickly than they have in years past. And so as much as we can make these corrections now prior to these local units of government drawing their precinct lines and so forth, we're just making it easier for those communities to operate. And they are much more in tune, I think, just because of access to technology that allows them to view these maps in greater detail than they've ever had before.
And
Mr. Chair, excuse me, and Madam Chair, I certainly understand that because there's been a lot fewer questions and so forth. But since you announced this meeting, I've talked to three people that were wondering how they get changes made. And so are we planning on having another meeting after this then for the time period between this meeting and after April 3rd?
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Murphy. If there are changes that come up that we can make the changes for them, more than happy to consider those and perhaps have a hearing to go through that process. I do want to highlight one example, though, of where we can't make a fix. And I've had folks, you know, email me on changes, and I have told folks, you know, there's some that we can do and some that we can't do. One of the fixes that we can't make is with Representative John Ward. He had come to me, the city of Brainerd. They have a situation where you have the city of Brainerd here, you've got a lake here, and they have just a little piece of Brainerd here with a total of 11 people. And the way the courts drew the plan, those poor 11 people over here are separated from the Brainerd district over here. So they're in a different house district. The problem is, if we were to try and put those 11 people with the Brainerd people over here, because of how the map is drawn, we would wind up splitting the township. So you're either splitting the city or you're splitting the township. And as I explained to Representative Ward, you know, we can't fix that problem without doing a wholesale change of the entire map for the state. And so I did talk to his city administrator about that today. He understands the issue. He didn't realize that that's a reality of, you know, how the census blocks work. And so he says, well, we'll just have to make do with the situation that we have right now. So, okay.
Representative Murphy?
Are we looking at these requests for changes on the advice of the Secretary of State because they can't do them, or how did we get the Edina one? How did we get the Stillwater one?
Sure.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Murphy. The Stillwater one in particular, I think, came from the Secretary of State's office, and so they do forward that information on to us. And as I mentioned earlier, we've been monitoring their website as well to see the different changes that they are going through, too. So, yeah, we've been keeping in the loop on all of those issues, as well as members, too, have been, you know, they get calls from their city administrator, and they contact us on those issues, too. So it's kind of a combination of people reaching out and contacting us on these issues.
And
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Gehring, Mr. Chair, Mr. Gehring, then can the legislature do whatever they want to whatever legislative district there is?
Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, the legislature is always authorized to come back and enact its own redistricting plan so long as it meets the constitutional requirements of compactness and contiguity and equal population and all the other requirements that are laid out for districting plans. So theoretically, yes, the legislature would be authorized to draw a new map, an entirely new map, if it chose to do so.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Gehring, you said that the legislature is authorized to make changes to their own plan, but are these changes then, since these changes were ordered upon us by the court, then should the court be making these changes rather than us?
Mr. Gehring, Representative Anderson.
Thank you. Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, the courts could certainly do that, but that would cause someone to take a legal action to make, if I'm remembering correctly, it would take legal action for that to occur, so you would have to have an intervener to file a suit and request the court to do that. So this is a way that we can correct these issues without requiring that process. And also, I'm guessing that would probably be a very time-consuming process. And these communities are looking at an April 1st deadline, if I'm correct, Mr. Gehring. Is that correct?
Mr. Gehring?
That's correct.
And
go ahead, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy. And so we are just trying to accommodate that. And just so you know, I have no plans of making any other changes to the map unless it's an issue like these two examples that have come forward. So I don't know. This is it as far as I've seen so far. Mm-hmm. So if that gives you any comfort at all.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Gehring, does the court have anyone available to give any kind of explanation of how, what they were thinking?
Mr. Gehring?
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, the court's explanation for the way they drew the map the way they did is going to be contained in their court order that they issued on February 21st. And
is that in language that I could understand?
I can certainly give you a copy of it. It lays out each of the principles that the court considered in drawing its plan, and it gives some description for each district about the way it is.
Representative
Mr.
Murphy.
Chair and committee members, Mr. Gehring, I have that. And I've gone through it, but it doesn't answer specific questions like for District 39A and 39B or District 49A and 49B and the school districts impacted.
Mr. Gehring, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, I think it's unlikely that you'll get more information from the court about why they drew the plan the way they did.
And Mr. Chair, Mr. Gehring, you don't think they would share their DAC with us or their Tom and Jamie with us?
Mr. Gehring?
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, no.
Representative Murphy.
Well, I had to ask.
Yeah.
I think I'll be quiet for a minute here, but I do have specific questions about the specific maps and the issues that created a proposed change.
And Representative Murphy, when would you like to address those?
Well, let's see if there's any other.
Representative Poppy.
Thanks. I may ask some of her questions. I don't know, but thank you, Mr. Chair. Just I'll look at the first one, the 39A and 39B. So if I'm reading this correctly, the red is what the court had issued, and then the blue is what the change is going to be. Is that correct? And then the 12 people, I'm just curious, are they Stillwater City people or Stillwater Township people? And was that part of the boundary issue?
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Poppy, those are township people.
Representative Poppy.
And thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Anderson. So was that the only township people that were contained in this district? I'm just trying. Do you know what I'm trying to get at? So it was kind of just a misread on the line. Is that kind of what happened?
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair and Representative Poppy. Yes, that is correct. Okay.
Representative Poppy.
Thank you. That I think answers that one for me. And then on the 49A and 49B, where exactly is the senior housing? Because it looks like there's two areas, if I'm seeing that correctly. So is the housing in one of those places?
Sure.
Representative Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Poppy, if you look on the east side of the map, you can see there the two little quadrants basically there. That's where the senior housing complex, so just south of the Hazleton Road there, if you see that on the map. And then we also cleaned up the other area to the west as a request from the city of Edina as well. So we just tried to make these as tidy as possible. It was, if you've had a chance to look at the map, it's been an interesting piece of work.
Representative Poppy.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So in this map, yellow and pink are both in Edina. Is that correct? So
correct.
The city is
just
splitting differently.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions? This is an open meeting. Is anybody here?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Representative Murphy.
Okay. On the 12 people from Stillwater, does their economic life change at all because of this? Are they going to have to pay for a sewer line that they weren't planning on? Or is there something other than because they're now, are they still in the township?
Representative Anderson.
But they're going to be in the different legislative district? Is that the understanding that I have?
Representative Anderson?
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, they will be in the other legislative district. It doesn't mean that they have to have a sewer line. This is not annexation or anything like that at all.
No, I wasn't thinking of that.
Okay.
But I remember in Stillwater, a few years ago, there was a big thing on sewer. And I just thought, did a group of people get together and decide they still didn't want to pay for that sewer?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Representative Murphy, this just keeps the township whole. The township was split, and that's all that it does. It doesn't impact anything else.
And
Representative Murphy, excuse me?
And Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, will they still be in the same school district?
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, it doesn't impact school district boundary lines at all. It only affects the house district boundary lines from what the core plan was originally. So rather than those 12 individuals being in 39B, they are going to be in 39A.
And
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, were any of those 12 people thinking of running for the legislature?
Representative Anderson.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, this does not preclude them from running for the legislature. They can run in either district.
Representative Murphy.
In either 39A or 39B.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, let me clarify. What it means is it doesn't prohibit them from running for the legislature. If they For those people that live in that township in 39A, they can still run for the legislature. Just by changing whatever legislative district that they live in doesn't preclude them from running for the legislature. They still have that opportunity regardless of what legislative district that they're placed in.
Representative Murphy.
But Representative Anderson, what if they made all their calls to 39B? Already 140 calls.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Murphy, they can choose to move. And we've seen a lot of folks recently making efforts to move, if that's what they want to do. But they are still have the option to run for office in the new district of 39A. And Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, I do check the filings, and I'm not aware of anybody that lives in that township area that has filed for office as of yet. So if they made 140 calls, they probably would have expended the $100 that would require them to file for office. So I'm guessing we're okay.
Representative Murphy.
All right. 49A and B, I have more questions about that, but this letter that we got from Deborah Mangan helps some. But Deborah Mangan, the city clerk, is that who brought this to our attention? Besides the people that had gone through this 10 years ago?
Representative Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Murphy, yes. In fact, she was the person that went through this 10 years ago.
Okay.
Representative Murphy.
Representative Anderson, can you tell me where the school district lines are in relation to that assisted living facility?
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Murphy, do you see that red line that shows where the original core plan line was?
Mm-hmm.
And that on the east side there, running through that those two little quadrants there?
Yes.
That's the school district boundary line. It runs through the middle of the senior complex.
It's one of the Murphy.
And so how does these lines, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, how do these lines make things better for the people?
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Murphy, when you've got a senior complex, or any complex, quite honestly, we received testimony. I don't know if you remember this, but last year when we were gathering input from citizens on how to draw the maps, we actually had the folks from Edina come in and talk to us about this issue in particular. It makes it very confusing for individuals if you live in the same complex and one side of the complex lives in one legislative district and the other side of the complex lives in another legislative district. It makes it confusing for the voters to, one, know who is running for office in their area, where to go for voting purposes, and a whole host of issues, as you can imagine. And so I remember when we were putting the maps together for the legislature, that was something that we took into consideration is, you know, how can we make it so that it's less confusing for citizens to participate in the election process. And so that is why we didn't do this. And it's something, you know, in looking at this overall, I think it's a good lesson to hopefully pass on to the folks that do this 10 years from now, and that we should be looking at physical features when we're drawing legislative district boundary lines. Because as you can see here, going by the school district boundary lines has significant unintended consequences that we are now having to fix like they had to fix 10 years ago.
But Madam Chair,
Mr. Chair, excuse me, I'm going to interrupt here. Just can I get the page to move these chairs? It seems a little uncomfortable to have you two dancing around the chairs, trying to see each other. So thank you, Representative Murphy. Go ahead,
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair. Are we changing the school district lines? Are they still going to be living in two different school districts? But we're making it convenient for the city.
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, the legislature has no control over school district boundary lines at all. That is all determined by school districts themselves. And so if that is something that you're interested in seeing changed, you know, that's something that the local citizens would need to lobby their school district on.
But Representative Murphy?
Madam Chair, I noticed in the Secretary of State, he has the authority to change school district lines, apparently, because
Mr. Chair,
certain roads are now the boundary of a school district.
Representative Anderson.
Sure. Representative Murphy, it might be helpful. We have Beth Frazier here from the Secretary. I know you want to come up. And maybe you can speak to the authority that the Secretary of State office has. It's my understanding you do not have the authority to change school district boundary lines, but if you could speak to that issue in particular.
Sure. Welcome. If you'd state your name for the record, please.
Sure. Mr. Chair and members, I'm Beth Frazier from the Office of the Secretary of State, and we do not have the authority to change school district boundary lines. The authority that we have in statute is to make adjustments when the lines are either ambiguous or drawn incorrectly. So I know, for example, in one of the cases, the court said, let's follow the power line, and the power line goes here. Well, that's not where the power line actually goes. And so, you know, we corrected it so that it actually follows the power line. So that's the type of change that we have the authority to make and that we are making as local jurisdictions bring these issues to our attention. The two issues that are in front of you in this bill are issues where there is no ambiguity or nothing is misnamed. It's very clear. The court said you should use Highway 96, but that's problematic because of the 12 voters in the rest of Stillwater Township. And in that case, in addition to there being expense to having another precinct, there's also an issue of voter privacy because each precinct's results have to be reported separately. And if you only have 12 voters in a precinct, it's going to be hard to camouflage who voted for whom if, you know, six people turn out and they all vote for, you know. So that's another issue that we're concerned about.
Yes, and
Thank you.
Gathered that.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair and Ms. Frazier, I gathered that from the explanation. But on boundary correction order for 45B and 46A, the last sentence, and it talks about the ambiguity up above, but then it says in the last sentence, the boundary of Independent School District 270.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Representative Murphy, I think it would be helpful for you to hear from Mr. Gehring, because he can speak to the school district boundary issue.
Thank you.
Mr. Gehring, if you would take us through the petition process and the school boundary issue, please.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, there is a procedure existing in current statute that allows individuals who live on a parcel of real estate that is split in multiple school districts to petition the county auditor to have the full parcel be annexed into one school district or the other. So that is an allowance that the people, I believe it would cover this housing complex that's being split in Edina. That they can go through this process. Like I said, they petition the county auditor, and there's a procedure for moving the whole parcel of residential property into one school district. And so that is an allowance that exists that wouldn't require action by the Secretary of State or the legislature.
Okay. And
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Gehring, maybe Madam Chair, has that been done in the last 20 years since the first court order?
Mr. Gehring?
Or do you know if Ms. Mangan has talked to the school district for a change of lines?
Representative Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Murphy, you know what? I haven't checked into that issue, but I can certainly communicate that to Ms. Mangan that, you know, they might want to do that to have greater ease for those citizens. But I also talk to the current legislators for that area as well and make that suggestion if you think that's helpful.
Mr. Chair? Madam Chair? Ms. Mangan is
Ms. Frazier.
Here. Oh, excellent.
excellent.
Well,
if you want to put her on the spot.
I miss you face to face. Well, she's gotten the message. So.
She told me ahead of time she was an observer. So
okay, good. Excellent.
Representative Murphy.
Okay, let me tell you what, that I'm really troubled by that it's 240 people that are affected. And if we're in, if there is a difference in this complex, their legislator, the legislative district might be changing, or they will know exactly what legislative district they're in. But they know exactly what school district they're in, too. But here are people that are in this same complex, and we're more concerned about moving them to their legislative districts than we are their finances, in that neighbors, people living across the hall or you know, north and south of the boundary line, are making different property taxes or payments for the property taxes because they're living in two different school districts.
Representative Anderson?
And I don't think the redistricting changes should affect their personal economics.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Representative Anderson.
Representative Murphy, you know, we have Ms. Mangan here. She's heard the commentary. I'm sure that she will probably go back and talk to those citizens. As I mentioned earlier, I will talk to the legislators that represent this area as well to advise them to maybe talk to that senior complex and suggest to them that they maybe go through this process of petitioning to change their school district boundary. But this is an issue that we heard from in committee, that this was a concern for the city of Edina. We made sure that in our map that we didn't do this division. We also saw the same thing happen 10 years ago. The legislature at that time took it upon themselves, you voted for it in fact, to make this adjustment when that same error happened 10 years ago. And in fact, 10 years ago it passed off the House floor 125-0. In the Senate it passed 63-0. And so all we're doing here is doing the same correction, unfortunately, that had to happen 10 years ago. I could have, you know, it would have been ideal that this did not happen again. I would have thought that the courts would have paid attention to this issue since it did happen 10 years ago and the legislature had to come forward and make this fix. But unfortunately, they didn't, and I, you know, I don't control their process. But we do have the opportunity to make this change and make at least this portion of it better for the community and for those citizens, and I think it is our duty to do that. We don't control school district boundary lines, but we do control this piece, mm-hmm. and I think this is an easy fix for us to do that makes sense and goes with the wishes of the community.
I appreciate
any further questions?
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, I appreciate your comments, but and yes, I won't disavow my yes vote 10 years ago. But in the last year, I've learned a lot more, and I'm questioning a lot more, and I'm really curious on why the court did it the second time. I really am, and probably I'll never have an answer to that either, but I don't see why it's okay for the people in this place to have two different school districts, but that it's not okay to have two different representatives.
Representative,
if they can figure out, Mr. Chair, if they can figure out the school districts and the changes that take place with the school districts and the levies and that kind of thing, maybe they would do just fine. And wouldn't dinner time be a lot more interesting if they had two people knocking on the doors and visiting during social hour on Fridays?
It would, and I'm speaking of dinner time.
I'll take your hint, Mr.
Chair. Representative Dalt has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question about what happens in townships that are split. I did notice that there were a number of townships throughout the state that were split, and I come from an area with quite a few townships, and I have a little background in township governance myself. The one that I'm thinking of at the top of my head is, I think it's straight south of Bemidji. They used the road instead of the township line. In the event where a township is split, do they separate that? And maybe this is a question for the Secretary of State's office. Do they split that into two separate precincts? And what I mean by that is, do they have two separate balloting boxes at the polling place, or do they just? I know in my area, we have two separate school districts in the same precinct, and they just have a separate ballot for each one of those areas. Do you know how that's handled if there's two separate legislative districts in the same township?
Ms. Frazier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Dowd. Yes, they have to have separate precincts because they are legislative districts. They would have to have separate ballots, but if they use an optical scan ballot counter, they can be put into the same counter because it can tabulate results for more than one precinct, but the results do need to be tabulated separately. I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah, I think it does. I think it answers my question. So they can use the same machine, but they have separate ballots. Is that the same for a school district? I know that's how they do it in the township that I live in. We have two separate school districts, but that's not considered two separate precincts in the school district case. Mm-hmm. It's just in the legislative district case. Am I understanding you correctly?
Ms. Frazier.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dowd, yes, they only have to have different precincts in the legislative district case, and if they're different precincts, they may have separate polling places, or they could have a combined polling place, which is when they might put the ballots into the same ballot box or optical scanner.
Representative Dowd?
That's all. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, I would like, if Ms. Mangan can answer any of my questions better than we.
Ms. Mangan, would you
like
come
to
forward,
address
please?
Any of my questions? I'd appreciate it.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. Deborah Mangan, Edina City Clerk.
Representative Murphy, your question for her?
No, Mr. Chair, Ms. Mangan, I stated the questions. Is there anything that I'm completely way off base on?
Ms. Mangan, please.
Chair, I'm sorry.
That's
I'm a little
fine.
Nervous.
Just relax.
Trying to gather my thoughts. In 2002, the line was split, and I didn't come to the legislature because at that time I really didn't know any better. And so I did run the 2002 election with that building split into two legislative districts, therefore it had to be in two voting precincts. So the surrounding property is such that you couldn't have a combined polling place because it would be 4,000 people. So that was the dividing line, and I couldn't combine the polling places. So I had people that were very confused because they had driven together for years and all of a sudden they were in two different districts represented by two different people and they didn't understand. They were very confused. It caused a lot of people to go to the wrong polling place. We had numerous complaints. We had some disenfranchised voters because they didn't go to vote until fairly late on the day. And by the time we got through to them and that they had to go to a different place, they didn't get to the proper polling place before 8 o'clock. And in 2003, I came to the legislature and asked them to please move the line around the building. We could contact the owners of that property. It's a senior cooperative, so it would be fairly complicated to get them to petition. It would be the Richfield and Edina school districts. That they would have to, half of them would have to petition to get that. There's like three parcels of land, two buildings, probably 200 to 240 apartments that would have to all come forward and make that petition. I'm happy to work with the community, but for the election purposes in 2012, it's really important that we have that building in one polling location. And I can't do that with the line running down the middle of the building. Does that answer?
Thank you. Representative Murphy?
Ms. Mr. Chair, Ms. Mangan, it helps. Do school districts vote in November, too?
Ms. Mangan.
Thank you. No. Representative Murphy, Mr. Chair, this year, the school districts, both the Edina school districts and the St. Louis are the Richfield school district have odd year elections. In fact, in Edina, I have 6 school districts. And so we are used to managing different ballot styles in a precinct if it becomes an issue, because it happens quite frequently.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Mangan.
Ms. Murphy, yep. Representative Murphy.
How does the school district run their elections in that building?
Ms. Mangan.
Or for that building, or where do the people vote?
Representative Murphy, Mr. Chair, I am under contract with the Edina School District, and I run their election. Richfield City assists the Richfield School District, and for the school district elections, we are allowed to use combined polling places, so the residents have a different polling place for the school district election than they do for the normal city, state, federal elections, which is not an unusual situation. I believe school districts can have one polling place for an entire district. It's a little different.
Representative Anderson.
Well, Representative Murphy, is it possible for you and Ms. Mangan to maybe talk about these issues offline for a little bit, or where are you at on this?
I'm fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Any other comments from the people who are here?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to renew my motion to pass House File 2821 as amended and be sent to the General Register.
All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. We are adjourned.